This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I'm glad that the government is giving us the information they have. I think that there are unexplained phenomenon that we see in the sky, and you know, they come from very credible sources like military platforms, pilots, radar systems on board our vessels. So these are not dismissible easily as errors. Now, or cases of mistaken identity. So I do think we are seeing things that we can't explain. However, without a lot more evidence, I'm not convinced that they're spaceships. Right. I'm glad to hear that the government doesn't think they're from adversaries like China or Russia. So they're doing things that are physically impossible by the way we understand physics and the rules of the universe. So they're very intriguing. I think there's a chance that there are things about our planet that we do not understand yet in terms of natural phenomenon. Huh. There's very weird stuff like the aurora, like ball lightning, like lights in the sky that appear before an earthquake, and they could be related to some geophysical phenomenon that we just don't know about yet. And so I tend to think that we're not very important in this universe of ours, in the Milky Way galaxy. You know, there are 40 billion habitable planets, we think. Wow. I doubt that people are spending resources and energy to come and visit us. However, I'll keep an open mind until we get more evidence.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
40 billion habitable planets. Wow. 40 billion. That's Dr. Tom Jones. He gave his thoughts earlier this week. He was here. If you want to hear the whole conversation with him, he's an astronaut. He's been to space multiple times. And you can go to Wednesday. It was the third hour of my broadcast. So go back to Wednesday this week and look for the interview with Dr. Tom Jones. And we talked about, it was the anniversary of the great Tunguska meteor strike in Siberia. And he's now on a mission to try to preserve and protect the planet from near-Earth objects, you know, those that could really, that caused the extinction event of the dinosaurs many years ago, 60 million years ago, 66 million, I think the number is. But it was a great conversation with him. He raised some wonderful things. You know, he says, hey, you know, I'm not discounting it, but, you know, there could be natural explanations for this phenomena that we're seeing. Maybe, you know, maybe there are civilizations who want to monitor us as a developing nation. Look at the advances we're making in technology. I said it last time that we were in horse and buggy 150 years ago. You know, you talk about indoor plumbing or some of the conveniences you have today. You know, that was not the case. And now with the invention of computer technology and microchips and our ability to fly and not just to take to the air, but to take to space. And with all the other advancements that we have made, we are moving at lightning speed. And maybe other civilizations are monitoring us. Maybe they've been monitoring the development of this country. I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing this out. It's food for thought. I want to talk coming up in a moment or two here with Dr. Pasulka. She wrote a book called American Cosmic, UFOs, Religion, and Technology. I want to take a Catholic look at this as well. And just, what about the faith angle on this? Let me just, I read an article a couple days ago, maybe it was a week or two ago. It was written by a guy named Vincent Ruggiero. And it struck me because he made the case, look, we've only heard about UFOs for more than half a century. And they're always, you know, being depicted as being either explainable things like a weather balloon or somebody's overactive imagination. But he says there is evidence of very real phenomena, which is considered evidence. It's possessed by the government, and it's hard to answer. The former director of Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, they call it ATIP, is a guy named Luis Elizondo. And he's come out, he stated that UFOs, they're now called UAPs, by the way, unidentified aerial phenomena, but I may still default to UFOs. He says they've been seen flying with impunity off of the Virginia coast every day for several years. Let me repeat that. These objects have been seen flying with impunity off the Virginia coast, he said, for years, for several years. Every day they've seen them. Every day. I can't stress that enough. Every day. Also, they've proved, you know, capable of withstanding 600 and 700 G-forces. You wouldn't, you'd be liquid. I mean, there's no way a human being can survive that. They fly at 1,300 miles an hour in the air, 200 or more miles an hour underwater. 200 miles an hour underwater. They defy the laws of gravity. They evade radar. And they do all this without any discernible means of propulsions or wings or control services. So that's the, again, the former director of ATIP, a program set up by the government to evaluate these things. Virtually all experts reject the idea that such advanced, you know, vehicles could belong to another country or planet. And that gives me some comfort that our adversaries don't have this. They're more inclined to believe that UFOs are not of this world. Maybe from another galaxy or planet or solar system. Maybe they're drones. Maybe they're piloted vehicles. Maybe these intelligent beings aren't in them. Maybe they've been sent here and they have a different technology, but they're uninhabited. In any case, they're certainly controlled by beings who have a greater knowledge of technical matters, right? They have perhaps a greater intelligence than human beings. They're more accomplished in the area, perhaps, of, you know, physics, astronomy. Does that make them more advanced in medicine and philosophy? We don't know. Nor do we have any idea about the nature of the beings, whether they have a soul. That to me is the most perplexing thing of it all. It's not whether or not there are craft showing up from a distant galaxy, whether it's through wormholes or who knows, right? Let's just for a moment think. What if there are intelligent beings? God populated those 40 billion habitable planets, or even beyond that, there are trillions, right? With intelligent beings. Do they have a soul as well as a body, for example? Are they subject to bodily decline and death as we are? Those questions take you into the realm of theology, right? The atheist would say, see, there is no God. These are creatures that are out there. All this is man-made. You know, you don't need Christ, they would argue, you know. But to me, it says, wait a minute. The very idea that atheists might reach that idea, to me, is troubling, because Catholics and Christians and Jews particularly might say that reaction is premature. It's speculative. You know, there's a lot of questions we need to learn to explore here. Suppose for a moment that the universe is occupied by many intelligent beings, perhaps many that our minds can't grasp the enormity of the number. It's inconceivable that they sprang out of mindless nothingness, right? I don't buy this. I think the atheists are wrong. You know, the universe is too ordered. But they must have been fashioned by somebody or someone greater, a greater intelligence than they possess, right? It's God, right? So the more intelligence beings that there are in the universe, I think the more awesome the creator is. If that's the case, or maybe God gave us the universe just for us. Maybe it's our playground to populate for millennia to come. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out. We're going to talk in a moment to Dr. Pasulka about this. We can explore these aspects of the mystery of these UAPs and UFOs. But one final thing here, okay? And I'll just throw this on the table, and then we'll get her take and we'll get yours. One more assumption here. Suppose, and here's the scary part, that these intelligent human beings are fallen, right? I mean, look what happened when sin entered our world. Look how we conquered and abused and destroyed. Look at war. Look what we've done to civilizations that we've encountered. Look at the conquistadors. Look at the settlers. I mean, you just go look at the, you know, go back to ancient Egypt. Go back to the Roman Empire. Take a look. Know your history, right? What if these intelligent beings are fallen, as the Bible tells us human beings are? Maybe they went through the test. Maybe they failed the test. Maybe others haven't fallen. But what does that mean? The fallen ones could suffer the same losses as our parents did, right? They might require salvation. So would the life and death and resurrection of Christ that has taken place here for human beings be for them? You know, I would argue yes. That act of redemption is, I believe, for all God's creation. But also, I'll go beyond this as well. If these intelligent beings disobeyed God, as our ancestors did, you know, what does that mean for us when they come to visit here? What if they obeyed him in the garden? What if they retained the gifts that God bestowed on them? I'll go to the other side of the equation here. What if their minds were not clouded by sin, nor were their wills weakened by sin? like our first parents were? What if they said yes to God and they passed the great test and they are populating and living in some beautiful planet elsewhere? You know, St. Faustina, my daughter sent me a message earlier today because I was intrigued by this. I missed this in the diary. I forgot about it, where the Lord in one encounter with St. Faustina, he's so in love with her and she loved him so completely. He said to her that he would create a whole new world for her where she could live. And of course she says, you could create 1,000 worlds for me. I want only you. I'll have to share the message with you. I have it here on my phone, but it makes me think, what if there are other worlds? What if God did create other places and there are people, there are other creatures who have not been contaminated by original sin? You know, it's a fascinating thought. It's a humbling thought. And maybe that would explain the superior intelligence implied by the UFO phenomena, the non-aggression that we've seen. It could suggest a higher level of virtue than is common amongst us human beings. That, too, to me is humbling, right? Perhaps those beings could give us new insights into technology, but also into our loving creator. Perhaps they are our neighbors. It's food for thought. I thought we'd explore it on National UFO Day, and it is my great pleasure to tap into the genius, the expertise, and the hands-on experience of Dr. Diana Walsh-Polsuka. She's a professor in the Philosophy and Religion Department at the University of North Carolina at Wilmington, and she specializes in Catholic studies, but she authored this book, American Cosmic, UFOs, Religion, and Technology. She was with us on Monday, and I said, you got to come back on National UFO Day. We got to continue our conversation. So she's here for you. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. Doctor, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I love talking about this. I love talking about the possibilities. I think God is good and merciful. He is creative, of course. Your thoughts on, I guess maybe we should start at the most basic for those who maybe missed our Monday conversation. By the way, if you want to hear that conversation, it's an hour of compelling dialogue. I'm telling you, a great conversation on this whole phenomena. Hour three of Monday of this past week. Go to my archives, download it, and stream it and share it with others. Maybe we could reset. Your thoughts on the possibility of God creating other civilizations, intelligent life, and that we humble human beings who have just learned to fly, really, are now being visited.
Yeah, so this is actually, people are really surprised to hear that people on the historical record have always considered the possibility of people from other planets or extraterrestrial, you know, civilizations on other planets. And, you know, as long as people have been looking up at the sky, I think they've been thinking this. And as long as they've been writing, that they've been writing about it as well. So we aren't the first. It hasn't been since just the 1940s that we've been talking about, you know, extraterrestrials. It's been for a long time. It's been, we even have doctors of the church talking about it during the scholastic time period, which is the 1300s. And up through the 1700s, you know, talking about beings from other planets. So I do, and also your viewers or, the people who are listening to us, sure, they may be familiar with Father Balducci. He's one of the, he's actually passed on, but he spoke about extraterrestrials in the 1970s and 80s and 90s, and he believed in them. And he also thought that they existed at the realm above humans, but below angels. And so he believed that they were real because of the testimony of credible witnesses. So he's obviously not part of the military, but he is, you know, an exorcist for the Catholic Church. And he believed that God was capable of creating all kinds of things and, you know, all the beings in the universe. I mean, it certainly says so in the Bible, things seen and unseen. So I think that it's perfectly compatible with theology to make room for, you know, belief in beings from other planets. Or, you know, when you do actually study the people who do study this, say, you know, because that was part of what I did. I actually drew the people who I was supposed to study were actually, they came to me. So I had scientists who were involved in the study of this who came to me and asked me about historical records of possible sightings. And there are certainly many of those. So, you know, so the scientists were as interested in the historical accounts as as I was interested in what they were doing.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a moment. We'll grab a few calls, too, if you want to get in. It's 888-914-9149. I'll get you in a quick second here. You know, this seems like a relatively new phenomenon, right? We have Roswell, yeah. And this whole thing took off. Project Blue Book, you have ATIP, you've got these different things going on. But, you know, there's some classic art where there are images painted in the background that look like a flying saucer in the caves of North American Indians. And in a lot of civilizations around the world, there seems to be depictions of visitors that are not of this world. And maybe there's another explanation for that. But how far back do these reports actually go?
I mean, they go before written history. So they go into the iconography of cultures that, you know, weren't actually writing codexes or manuscripts. So we do have, you know, evidence of at least, you know, we take it as like testimony today, written testimony. We saw this in the sky. We didn't understand what it was, but we interpret it through our cultural lens. And, you know, it's what they think it is. Well, a lot of times people would basically call them, like indigenous cultures would actually call them star peoples. In the Catholic tradition, wow. A lot of people would call it planetary intelligences. So, you know, we do have records of that as well. When I was writing my first book, which is on the doctrine of purgatory, I actually came across a lot of these things. And that is what motivated me to actually write this book on UFOs, because you wonder, how did a person in Catholic history decide to write a book on UFOs? It was because I thought it would be fairly easy to kind of document these recorded sightings and discuss them. I honestly didn't know that the book would take me in the direction that it did. That is studying people today, scientists who are affiliated with programs that actually do study this phenomenon and believe that they are studying something that is of non-human intelligence. And I could tell you their theories about that too, or your listeners. I think they're fairly interesting.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I'd love to hear it, please.
Okay, so some of the theories are, there are three main theories. One is that these are like these crafts that we see or that people, you know, see allegedly are of nuts and bolts. They're actually things that are coming from other planets. OK, so there are, you know, maybe they've, you know, they're definitely not propulsion that we know of it, because as you said earlier, they're going like upwards of 1300 miles per hour. Yeah, all right. Maybe. So there's that. They're also stopping at the, you know, stopping and starting. And they just defy the laws of physics as we know it today. All right, so there are nuts and bolts, this whole theory that's what they are. But the more sophisticated scientists believe that they're working in dimensions. So we know that there are other dimensions, right? So math exists in a dimension that we don't, you know, it's not 3D. So we tend to think in 3D. So we're naturally going to assume that these are physical craft. Right. And in fact, the name change from UFOs to UAPs suggests that the government is already thinking in terms of dimensions, because UAP makes room for phenomena, not necessarily objects. So if you look around the room, you'll see objects around you. These objects are not going to disappear. They're 3D. But these objects that people are reporting in the sky, they actually disappear at times. Right. So they're, as Lou Elizondo says, you know, they're flying with impunity. Why does he call it impunity? Because all of a sudden they defy the laws of physics. They disappear. And so that's not a 3D dimensional aspect. So there's this other theory that they exist in other dimensions and that somehow they're breaking into our dimension and we can see them and then they leave. Okay. Another theory is this, is that the actual craft themselves are the intelligent beings. That they are themselves biotechnology, and that we have to understand them as beings in and of themselves. And that's actually something that I find quite interesting. So you've got these three different theories, and the scientists that I've been embedded with for a while and, you know, hung out with them and learned what they did, these are the types of theories that they would work between.
Wow. So rather than saying, hey, light travels at 186,000, you know, miles per second, and you could never possibly, you know, cross our solar system, and you know, there's interdimensional travel, the possibility maybe of wormholes. There's things we have not thought of.
You and I can't think like that because we are 3D types of people, right? Like I said, you know, look around your office there or your room. None of those things are going to disappear, those 3D objects in your room. Right. So, I mean, we're dealing with something that obviously could possibly be, you know, something else from another dimension. We know that other dimensions are real. So, you know,
how many dimensions do scientists believe there are? Is there an unlimited number of those, or how many?
Okay, so I know for a fact that scientists, if you go on YouTube, you can come up with some mathematicians who are geniuses from like Stanford and Berkeley, and they have excellent channels about 4D objects. So we have philosophers like Plato and Socrates who had already thought of what are called fourth dimensional solids. So we've known about these now for thousands of years. But it's only been recently when people have been using computers to create the models to understand these kinds of objects that that younger people are beginning to learn how to work in, you know, 4D reality. So I don't know exactly how many dimensions scientists believe exist, but for sure there are more than the three that we live in.
So is one of your favorite theories that these are interdimensional beings? Because, you know, I've had, as I said, an astrophysicist on the program in the past, and we just talk about the stars in the night sky, how they're so far away that it's very likely that that light we're seeing could come from a star that has burned out, you know, millions of years ago. And the same is true just in terms of travel. Unless you could defy the laws of physics and travel faster than the speed of light, it would be impossible to travel across these vast distances. So where do you stand? Do you stand on the interdimensional idea? I mean, what's your favorite theory? I should say, I shouldn't put words in your mouth.
No, that's okay. So I was, of course, I mean, this was all new to me in 2011 when I started this. And so, you know, I've had a while now to think about it. So I think that what I find the most interesting is this idea that these are biotech in some way. And that means that, because when you look at the historical record and you see the sightings of these things, a lot of times people report what I would call almost spiritual experience with respect to them. Even the people who were on the Nimitz looking up and seeing, you know, the famous 2004 sightings that we now see reported by Blumenthal and Kane in the New York Times, right? The Tic Tacs. A lot of the people on that boat had some very strange experiences while they were identifying those, okay? Yeah. And we don't actually talk about that type of thing, but as a scholar of religion, that's what I spend time looking at. You know, what's the experience of the person that's actually seeing this thing? And what I find is that a lot of the experiences that are reported today are experiences that have been reported historically. People report having almost, like they say, I believe that thing was looking at me. Like they almost have a communication with this. And so I find that this biotech type of where, you know, the craft is conscious in and of itself, or somehow it's interfacing with its driver, okay, in a way in which like Elon Musk is trying to do, like, so something like that, where computers and, you know, brain activity interface. I think that if that's what's going on, I think
it's
that might be.
I'll tell you what.
Think of that.
This stuff really stretches the imagination, really makes you think. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking today to Dr. Paul Sulca, and we're taking a look at UFOs. It's American UFO Day. Also taking a look at the spiritual dynamic of this. Would these creatures need salvation? We'll be back.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. Oh, I think, dude. That's not on us, though, is it? It's not.
That is on us, dude.
Well, if there's a
look at that thing,
it's rotating.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, those were pilots tracking an unidentified aerial phenomena, a UAP, also known as a UFO. I believe that was the famous Nimitz case. They grabbed or were able to track this thing, traveling at unbelievable speeds. It's good to have you back today. It is International UFO Day, believe it or not, and I'm willing to bet you didn't know that. July 2nd marks that day, and why it's designated that, I don't know. But I think it's kind of fun to talk about. So let's do that. Earlier this week, you heard a discussion about the Defense Department's new report of what are popularly called UFOs. And from what I was reading, when they released this report to Congress, Out of the 145, you know, very credible sightings, unusual sightings, the Pentagon could only positively identify one of them, which happened to be a weather balloon that crashed. The other 144, they have no idea what they are. And they acknowledge, they said this, and this is what the report said, and I'll give you a quick quote. It says, in a limited number of incidences, UAPs, that's, you know, unidentified aerial phenomena, reportedly appear to exhibit unusual flight characteristics. These observations could be the result of sensor error, spoofing, or observer misperception and require additional rigorous analysis. More likely, more than likely, they're referring to what is now famously the tic-tac object that some pilots had saw. And we talked about that, right, where the Navy pilots tracked on multiple systems, you know, radar, their fighter jets and everything else, multiple systems, these crafts, and they moved they dropped 80,000 feet in 2 seconds. It defies anything that we possibly have in our technology or that we know of in the world. And it raises questions about what it might be. Apparently, there's a much larger classified report that's before Congress and whether or not it'll stay that way. We'll see what happens. I'd love to know more. But Jake put up a Twitter poll. Jake, what was the poll and what are the reports that are coming in?
The question on our social media page right now, Drew, is do you believe that there could be a UAP or a UFO? Do you believe that there's that possibility? And so far, slightly more than half of the people taking this poll, Drew, are saying, yeah, they do believe that, looking at about 53%. So there's still time for you to cast your opinion right now. Just head over to @DrewMarianiShow on Twitter and let us know.
And we'll grab your calls here, too, in a second. I'm speaking, if you're just joining me, with Dr. Pulsulka. She authored a book called American Cosmic. And she writes that more than half of American adults and more than 75% of young Americans believe in intelligent extraterrestrial life. This level of belief rivals belief in God. And that should give us pause. It's not that it's wrong to believe in this, but you know, there's got to be a divine creator of all this. And, Doctor, it's good to have you back. Diana, thank you for your time. Thank you for your writing and for your expertise in this. I want to go to the phones. Before I do, let's pick up on a couple of things here. I mean, let's assume that these things are real. Let's assume that they are not demonic. We'd even get to the spiritual aspect. Some argue that these are demonic manifestations. Let's assume they're not natural anomalies or they're part of DARPA, you know, our own, you know, black ops type of development here. They're not Russian. They're not China. Let's say they do exist. And perhaps because we're advancing, there will one day be an encounter. What would the contact be like with a race that is so far beyond us technologically and perhaps even in terms of intelligence?
That's a great question. So what is this idea of contact? So first I want to tell your listeners that I was actually, when I began my study, I was not a believer at all. And I went into the study, with basically, I was, you know, fairly... didn't believe. And now I'm definitely, because of the work that I did with scientists who do study this and believe this, and these are scientists at top five universities and, you know, or working with our space program, I have to say that, wow, you know, and also talking to people at the Vatican as well. So then what is this idea of contact? All right, I think that we have an assumption of contact. You know, if we're talking about something, if we take what you just suggested literally, and that there are these other civilizations, or there is at least one other species that we would be in contact with. We have to think about the species that we're in contact with now. So we have already on Earth, we're in contact. There are, you know, about 1.8 million different types of species of living things on Earth, right? Okay. So what is contact like that now? You know, what does it look like now? Well, we're in contact with animals and things like that. So we can't assume that contact is going to look like human beings contacting each other and learn, you know, it's not going to be as easy as just learning a different language. If these are actually a different type of species, then our ideas of contact have to be a lot more complex than they are now. And that idea of contact that we have, that we can meet them, they'll come down, you know, they'll say, take us to your leader or something like that. That's absolutely simplistic. And so, you know, maybe perhaps we're already in contact. Maybe this is what a lot of the scientists I was working with were believing. And this is actually the belief of people who founded our rocket technologies and our own space programs. They believed that they were already in contact, and that contact was being given to them through like mental inspiration and kind of like what they would call downloads, and that they were able to create these technologies that would then allow us to go into space and create technologies that, like you said, you know, we're exponentially just progressing with respect to technology. Why? Okay, so, you know, so there's this idea of contact, and I think that's a really good one. I also want to share with your viewers something, a document written by John Paul II that actually really helped me in the very beginning of my study. And this is called The Catechesis on the Angels. And you can find it at, I think it's the EWTN site. They have that up. And it's basically where John Paul II basically talks to his bishops about beings that are not human beings. And he basically says, look, it's, you know, the fashion not to believe in angels or demons today, but they certainly still exist, right? So whether you or not you believe, they still exist. And that helped me on this road to kind of doing this work, you know, of looking at these kinds of things.
So do you believe that some of the technological advances that we've made, as I said, you go back 150 years ago, 200 years ago, it's a totally different reality than where we are today. Do you think some of the technology we have is just a byproduct of human development, one discovery building on another? Or do you think it was inspired by something that scientists found or were, you know, revealed?
What I believe, okay, so certainly the scientists I worked for who are incredibly credible and legitimate, and one of them has over 40 patents in biotechnology, they believe that they were inspired by beings, yep. Okay? What do I believe? I believe that a lot of what we see today is inspired, you know, whether or not it's inspired by God or, you know, whether it's inspired. And what inspired means is to be filled with the spirit, basically. So I do believe that a lot of the, you know, progress that we're making today is definitely inspired. Now, we need to have our ethics and be inspired as well as we create these amazing technologies.
And doctor, let's do this too. I really want to respect the people who are waiting. I want to get to them on the phones here in a second, but just on another element here, I know John Paul II wrote about angels. We can talk about that. I also want to just talk about the possibility that, you know, God populated the vastness of this universe with other intelligent life. And maybe just as our first parents were put to the great test and they failed and sin entered the world, or the mind became clouded. We see the disorientation that comes from sin. Others were put to a similar test and they didn't fail. Maybe they have a higher intellect or other capabilities that we lost as a result of our fall. Where do you stand on that? And we could take a couple calls regarding that as well, but give me your take on that and then we'll go to the phones.
Sure. So in my opinion, I believe that if, let's say that for the sake of, you know, what you suggested earlier, that there are other civilizations. Okay, so they're not our species, they're not humans. All right, so I believe that they are subject to the same kinds of moral, eternal laws that we are. And I would believe personally that there would be those who have fallen and those who have not, just like human beings. You know, I believe that they would have free choice.
Yeah. So that's got a little bit of a scary thought too, because, you know, if they have a fallen nature.
It is a
nature,
scary thought. I agree.
If they have a fallen nature and they have advanced technology, you know, we could be in their zoos. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
Let's go. We'll take a few phone calls. 888-914-9149. Keith is listening in Wisconsin. Keith, you're on the air with Dr. Diana Pulsuka. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. And actually, this is right along what we're just talking about. And first of all, I do want to say that there's just so much anecdotal anecdotal evidence for UFOs. I kind of view it as the same line of ghosts. You know, I find it hard to believe that half the people don't believe they exist, right? There's some great documentaries out there like Unacknowledged. But more to the point, my thinking is if we did have contact, right, and I thought the discussion on what contact would be, but let's assume it's the take me to your leader type, I personally would be most interested in if they are fallen, okay, especially, do they have a Christ story, right? Or what is their theology? If there is one God, which I certainly believe, of the universe, it seems to be logical to assume that, you know, their civilization, or at least part of their civilization, just like ours, would have a theology very similar to Christianity. So that's just kind of my comment. I'd like to hear the doctor's take on that.
That's a great call. Hey, Keith, thank you. Dr. Good, I'll let you handle it.
Sure. So in my opinion, what I would answer that with is that I believe that God can make the Christ, you know, story and truth, God can translate that to any species, basically. So I do believe that that's actually correct, that they would know this truth in their own way, and that, you know, Christ died for all. I mean, you know, all humans. And if there were, you know, the angels have a particular relationship to Christ as well. So what it would be, I can't tell, but I would think that, you know, this is a universal truth.
Yeah, well said. Hey, Keith, thank you. Mark is listening in Miami. Mark, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey Mark. So Mark's a pilot, I'm being told right now, who witnessed a UFO. He's a co-pilot. Mark, tell us your story.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago. It was probably 30 years ago. And I was with a friend of mine. We were flying back after a business meeting, and it was early evening, and we were flying into an airport in Georgia. And as we entered the pattern to land, which normally you'll enter, you'll fly downwind, you enter like a 45 degree angle, then you turn base and then turn final to land. And as we were turning base to final, I could see a group of lights pretty much at our altitude and in the distance. And I said to my friend who was flying the plane, I said, you have to be careful, because we're in the same area where there was a military air base, and military aircraft don't really pay attention to civilian aircraft. So he's looking at the lights, and he asks the tower, what's at our altitude in about 10 miles? And they say nothing. And I'm like, what do you mean? You can see the lights. I mean, how do you mean? What do you mean nothing? And then about that time, a group of lights that were out there, one light left that group, traveling away from us, kind of like at a 45 degree angle. And then it just disappeared. And then as we crossed the threshold to land, there was a Delta MD-80 waiting to taxi out behind us. And behind that plane, where you couldn't see, if you're in the plane, you couldn't see behind it, was this huge contraption about a third the size of the jets, all groups, lights and stuff, just sitting there in the airport. And I looked again, you know, it's gone.
Wow.
And so I'm like, what is that? And so next morning when we taxied out to leave, I thought it was maybe just something on the airport, but it was just open field. So it wasn't.
Yeah, I had heard reports.
The airport.
I had heard reports that, you know, eyewitnesses saw them over one of the most crowded airports in our country, and that was O'Hare. Have a lot of pilots saw this, Mark? I mean, have you heard other reports from other men who fly, other people who fly?
No, nobody. I've shared it with people off and on throughout the years, and some have been in the military, and they say, I don't doubt you at all, but no one else has ever told me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, pilots tend to see a lot and are discouraged from reporting, or have been. I think things are changing now, especially with this report, but they've been routinely discouraged from reporting that kind of thing.
So, Doctor, what do you make of his report of the lights being there, then suddenly vanishing? That's a reoccurring theme, it seems, of late.
So that's something that, I mean, the PBS science correspondent, Miles O'Brien, basically had he was on TV, I think a week ago, basically talking about his own sighting, where he said that he saw something very similar and then it just disappeared. And so that's the kind of thing that, is reported historically as well. You know, something would be flying around and a lot of people would see it, and then it would just absolutely just disappear. And so we have to think, well, what type of physical object is that? Well, none that we know.
Right. Hey, Mark, I'm really grateful for your call. I know you waited for a while. I'm glad you shared that story. Brings a lot of, I think, a lot of credibility to the conversation. And, you know, Mark sounds very rational. Witnessed that 30 years ago, was in an airplane. And
yeah,
it's an account
amazing.
That we hear from a lot of other people. Doctor, I got to take a short pause, so stay with me.
Sure.
When we come back, we will talk more. If you're on hold, I'm going to do my best to get you on. We're going to take calls. We're talking to Dr. Pasulka. She wrote a book called American Cosmic UFOs, Religion and Technology. She's been tracking this, investigating it, working with, I'll keep confidential, some of the high-end or some of the governments and government divisions that she's been working with as well. And it gives us a very balanced Catholic look at this. So if you want to get in, feel free to call. Our conversation continues right after this.
Your news. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your news now. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
November 14th, 2004. It's a clear blue sky. There's no wind. And you see this tic-tac. It's just this white object that's randomly moving around. It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. I remember telling my backseater, I said, dude, I don't know about you, but I'm a little weirded out. It's not a helicopter. It doesn't have rotor wash. There's no propulsion. There's no wings. It rapidly accelerates and disappears. Like, poof, gone. The weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I chased a UFO. But I like to just crawl back under a rock and be myself again. You know, I'm not going to talk little green men or any of that stuff. I'm just saying. There's a lot out there that we don't know.
Strange spiraling white light was spotted in the
Drew Mariani Show. Mariani. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Again, another very competent observer, and I believe that was another Navy pilot who witnessed and chased these unidentified aerial phenomena, these UFOs. I loved Mark, who called, a pilot who witnessed this 30 years ago, sounded very rational and very calm. Look, if you missed any of this conversation, let me just, we're speaking today with Dr. Diana Pasulka, and she's been researching this, wrote a book called American Cosmic, and I enjoy her. She specializes in Catholic studies as well as the author of a highly acclaimed book called American Cosmic, UFO, Religion, and Technology. She got into this. Before she did this, she was working on purgatory. On something on purgatory, that this, you know, so to go from there to here and to have a faith-filled look at it, I always think is wonderful. I like that balanced and faith-filled perspective. If you missed the conversation on Monday, you can go back and listen to that as well. Just go to the archives. It's relevantradio.com. Type in my show name, and you'll see some of the great conversations we have. Jake will have this up about an hour after we're off the air here today, so you can share it and listen to it again. All right. And Jake, before I go back to the good doctor, where are we with our poll? I know you asked, you know, what people think. Do they believe in UFOs? What's the latest?
Actually, Drew, I have to do a last-minute check there, but I think we're still sitting at about 51% of those who say that, yeah, they do believe that there is the possibility of intelligent life. I'll be sure to take another look at that in just a moment. We can do a final update.
It sounds good. And doctor, you and I were talking about during the break about Mark. You had a question for Mark, didn't you, if Mark's still listening?
Yeah, if Mark wants to call in again. So I was wondering, in fact, he got off the phone before I could ask him, how he felt internally about this and if that changed over time. So when he saw this, did this cause him to, obviously it caused him to think, is that something that's terrestrial? Is this, you know, something from, is this ours? And the answer is no. And then he, you know, how did this change how he feels about things? That's, I'm always interested in that aspect of these sightings.
Well, I'm going to throw one other thing out, and we'll grab some calls here. I just find this another theory. I have a friend who's a very gifted author, and he's written a number of books. He is convinced that this really is a diabolic deception. He says so often a lot of these UFO sightings are seen over places, you know, where there are cemeteries or occult activity. He is worried about, you know, these manifestations, and maybe not all of them, but some of them not being of this world, actually being dark spirits. I don't know where your thoughts are on that. And I can make a case for it. He made a great case for it. He highlights a whole litany of connections to occult sites and behaviors of people, et cetera. But just your thoughts. We only have a couple of minutes, and I want to go back to the phone.
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. So I've thought about this a lot. And I probably know your author's books and most likely read them. So I don't just read, you know, books by academics. I read everything on the topic.
Yeah. So, Mike, I'll give his name out. Michael Brown has written a number of different books. And this, you know, he made a strong case for, I think it's called Stranger Things. But also he's been on the air. He's written articles about that as well. And I thought that was, I thought it was something to think about as well, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. So this is what is very interesting is that I don't attribute, if there are, you know, if they exist, it's not going to be just one civilization of them or just one type. I think there will be variations, and there, as many good experiences that people have, people also have terrible experiences. So I actually agree that, I'll put it in the way that the scientist put it to me. As we were in New Mexico, when we were looking, I was actually looking at some of the research that he did. And he said this to me. He said, you know, Diana, he said, if this was 100 years ago, you would be basically studying angels and demons. That's what he said.
Wow. That's fascinating. Well, I'll tell you what, doctor, if I'm in your part of the world, I'm taking you to dinner. I could sit down and talk to you for hours. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah,
you
ever
come to
that.
My part of the world, you'll let me know. All right.
Definitely.
Let's go to the phones. Chris is listening in Providence, Rhode Island. Chris, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Drew. I'm just wondering, regarding the violation of the laws of physics, you know, craft stopping on a dime, appearing and disappearing, moving at fantastic speeds, one explanation put forward by actually a radio host in the area who's in the military is that these are not craft at all. What they are is a light show, a series of advanced holograms developed by the U.S. basically national security apparatus, and their main value is to provide fake targets to the enemy. And so that's why they send them out, he says, to all of these, you know, U.S. Navy bases or U.S. Air Force bases. It's to test these advanced holograms, and so what it does is it makes our jets scramble, and then if we want to use it against an enemy, we know their value. So they're not craft at all. They're just an advanced light show. That's why they stop on a dime, appear, and disappear. Oh, wow. So I just wondered what you thought of that.
That's a great theory. That's an awesome theory.
Yes. Yeah, and it could possibly actually just be the truth, okay? So the way I see this is that there are most likely different explanations, and the Pentagon report suggests that too, that they've got at least four different explanations for what these are, and then there's the bin called other, okay? So I would suggest that most likely something, like, you know, you have to think about it. I'm a professor, and I've been trained to think rationally about things. It took a mind bend for me to actually start to think about this in any way that was legitimate, like credible, like really, right. These things are real. What? So, okay, how do I think that? I've got to hold multiple types of theories in my head at once. And one that I had until the end of the book, and I was still, you know, dealing with this, you know, fact that I was with two scientists who were very credible and credentialed, and they believed that what they were studying is definitely debris from something that's not created here on Earth. Okay. So, and I said, are you sure it can't be something that's, you know, military from Russia or China? And they looked at me like I was an idiot. Okay. So now, in answer to your question, which is an excellent question here, or not a question, but, you know, a suggestion, is that what if that's true? But what if something else is true too, because when you look at the historical record, and I've you know, talked to more than 1,000 people who've had direct experiences of these sightings, and a lot of them report that they have, that these things follow them, turn around and look at them, you know, and they feel like they're having some type of a very odd experience with these sightings. So that you couldn't include in that theory that it's, you know, a hologram.
All right. Hey, Chris, thank you. It's a great idea that you posited. And, Doctor, I only have about a moment left. Jake, do I even have time to take it? Well, I don't think we do. And my apologies. Check out Dr. Pasulka's book, UFO Religion and Technology. She's a professor in the philosophy and religion department at the University of North Carolina at Wilmington and specializes in Catholic studies. Doctor, we'll have to have you back. You have entertained me and made me think today, and it's always great to do that with you.
Excellent, excellent.
We'll catch up soon. Enjoy your Independence Day, okay?
Yeah, you too. Everybody have a great course. Bye.
That's Dr. Diana Walsh-Pasulka. Jake, the latest poll, very quickly, because I know we only have a little bit of time. Where do we stand?
So, Drew, 58% are saying, yeah, UFOs may exist, but we want to hear from you. So cast your vote right now at Drew Mariani Show.
I love the idea of whether or not they have souls, we have dominion over them, whether God has populated the planet with other creation. You know, there's so much to think about, just even from a spiritual perspective. Father Rocky is coming up next. He's going to be sitting in for Cale Clark. That should be a fun hour, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, have a very blessed and joyful Independence Day weekend. Be safe. Remember to give thanks to God for this great nation and the liberties that we enjoy. God bless everyone.